It was another Thursday morning, and David and I were joined on Broken Road Radio by Pastor Robbie Pruitt, who brought us some very useful insights as to what Jesus had to say about humility, as revealed in Luke chapter 14 and the parable of the wedding feast. We began the conversation with a quick reference to a book by Andrew Murray.
I have this book, and he gave me a copy of Andrew Murray's book called Humility. And it's a classic book. You can actually listen to the whole thing. It's about 2.5 hours. You can listen to it on YouTube for free. But I remember thinking, what do I need this book for? why did he give me this book? You know, what in the world? You know, I don't need this book. And I read it, and recently I've picked it back up because I thought, I need this book. And one of my favorite books now is not only Andrew Murray's Humility, but Tim Keller's book, The Freedom of Self-Forgetfulness. Because these Pharisees had put themselves in a position of spiritual pride. These Pharisees were putting themselves in a higher up position when they should have been putting themselves in a lower seat. This is what Andrew Murray says about humility in his book, Humility. He says, humility is perfect quietness of heart. It is to expect nothing, to wonder at nothing that is done to me, to feel nothing done against me. It is to be at rest when nobody praises me. And when I am blamed or despised, it is to have a blessed home in the Lord, where I can go in and shut the door and kneel to my Father in secret, and am at peace in the deep sea of calmness when all around and above is trouble. I love that. It's just this peacefulness in the Lord, where I'm not worried about anyone else. I'm not considering what other people are thinking, where this is the opposite of the Pharisees who, you know, if you listen to Jesus's woes in Matthew, if you look at Matthew 24, 25, he gives the woes to the Pharisees where he's indicting them for praying in the streets and the Sermon on the Mount. Don't stand on the street corners to be seen by men like these Pharisees do, but go into your closet in secret. And this is what Andrew Murray is saying here. And then Jesus talks about how they wear their phylacteries and their tassels long on their robes to be seen. And even here at this feast that they invite Jesus to, they are more concerned with their prominence than honoring Jesus with a place of honor, though he is the invited guest.
Now, in the Old Testament, God laid out instructions, detailed instructions on how to dress a priest. There were no instructions on how to dress a Pharisee. Are the Pharisees, now, but they were all involved with the temple in Jerusalem. The Sadducees and the Pharisees and priests and Levites, I don't remember a mention in the Old Testament of anybody called Pharisee or political party member who contended with other political parties for prominence in Temple Incorporated. So they must have had, you mentioned the phylacteries, the tassels on the robe. That's all priestly stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, but he describes the Pharisees as wearing these things too. All priests are Levites, but not all Levites are priests. Mm-hmm. Pharisees can be in a priestly order, I think, as well, but they are teachers of the law. They're part, I think, of this priestly order in the temple.
So they invented a uniform for themselves that probably was modeled on that of a priest. In other words, it set them apart, set them above.
Yeah, some of this stuff is, certainly, traditionally, they have identifying clothing. Remember, we're in an honor-shame society where social status, socioeconomic position, religious authorities, there's the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Essenes, all these divisions in the time of Jesus are existing, and Jesus writes, even in the Sermon on the Mount, he's rebutting each of these parties, the Herodians, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes, and the Zealots as well.
And I know so this is a little bit of a rabbit trail, but where do rabbis fit into the picture?
Well, they're teachers. I mean, Jesus was a rabbi. They called him Rabboni, rabbi, teacher. It just simply means teacher. And so these are people who may be, you know, rulers of the synagogue, elders, teachers, and disciplers of others. But again, if you look at this part of this position and this prestige, position, power, politics, all of these things, these P's, these preacher alliterations, these things are at play in this society. And when Jesus comes, he puts on the towel. I mean, the other time we see a triclinium table that's implied is John 13 and Jesus washing his disciples' feet.
The Last Supper, yeah.
Yeah. So he puts on the towel and begins to wash his disciples' feet. Jesus himself said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. That's humility. Jesus said, greater love, this is in John 15, greater love has no one than this, than he laid down his life for his friends. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you my friends, for everything the Father has made known unto me, I've made known unto you. So this is the humility that Jesus exudes. To quote Andrew Murray again, this journey towards holiness, this book, Humility, he says, pride must die in you, or nothing of heaven can live in you. Pride must die in you, or nothing in heaven can live in you. And Jesus said, if I've done this for you, you should do this for one another. So that's humility. Humility is stooping. And you bring up the Old Testament. Another fun connection is the apocryphal book paired with the gospel reading this Sunday in Luke 14, verses 1 through 14, the parable of the wedding feast and the parable of the great banquet is the apocryphal book of Ecclesiasticus. And in Ecclesiasticus 10, 7 through 18, it says, arrogance is hateful to the Lord and to mortals, and injustice is outrageous to both. Sovereignty passes from nation to nation on account of injustice and insolence and wealth. And this is what we're dealing with in the first century, injustice, insolence, and wealth.
And we're still dealing with today, I might add.
Yeah, I love verse 9. How can dust and ashes be proud? You get this Genesis hat tip, you know, remember that you are dust and to dust you shall return. How can dust and ashes be proud? Even life, the human body decays. A long illness baffles the physician. The king of today will die tomorrow. For when one is dead, he inherits maggots and vermin and worms. The beginning of human pride is to forsake the Lord. And this is exactly, by the way, what the Pharisees are doing. They're forsaking the Lord in front of them. And this is the beginning of human pride. The heart has withdrawn from its maker.
You know, and I think it's not that they don't recognize him. They refuse to recognize him.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is the first sin. I mean, this is the sin of Adam and Eve, who refuses to recognize God for who God is and for what God has done. Did God really say? Is God holding out on you? And again, that's verse 12 of Ecclesiasticus 10. The beginning of human pride is to forsake the Lord, for the heart has withdrawn from its maker. For the beginning of pride is sin. I mean, this is the center of sin, S-I-N, is I. That's sin. It's when I put myself in the middle or the center of my attention. Back to that Keller quote, that you don't think too much of yourself. You don't think too less of yourself. You just don't think about yourself. And the one who clings to sin pours out abominations. Therefore, the Lord brings upon them unheard of calamities and destroys them completely. The Lord overthrows the thrones of rulers and enthrones the lowly in their place. I mean, can't you hear that those who humble themselves will be exalted from Jesus's words in the parable of the wedding feast? I mean, this is Ecclesiasticus 10. The Lord plucks up the roots of the nations and plants the humble in their place. The Lord lays waste the land of the nations and destroys them to the foundations of the earth. He removes some of them and destroys them and erases from memory of them from the earth. Pride was not created for human beings, or violent anger for those born of women. Isn't that great? That's Ecclesiasticus 10. I mean, this is the soup that we're swimming in the first century, the historical context of the intertestamental books.
Humility is quite a topic, and I'm glad we addressed it. And by the way, Robbie, I'm not criticizing you about rehearsing your sermon with us, because that's important to us. All the research and work that goes into that. And we get a preview of that. And your congregation is blessed, I have to tell you that, as we are here to have you here every week. Robbie, again, the Executive Director of Preserving Bible Times, their website, preservingbibletimes.org. You can go there and find context for sale and for free in the form of ebooks, audiobooks, streaming video. And there are a number of free things, including the newsletter, which Robbie puts out sometimes more than once a month. It's called Between the Lines. You can subscribe there on the website. Just a click and fill in your email, and it'll come to you via email. No charge for it every week. And you'll learn stuff from Robbie and from Preserving Bible Times. It's quite an asset to have bookmarked on your computers, preservingbibletimes.org. Robbie, thanks so much for what you bring us. Again, we'll look forward to next week. Okay?
Thanks so much, gentlemen. It's a joy and privilege and a pleasure to be with you on the Broken Road. Glad to be able to preach to myself this morning.
Bye-bye.